You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, January 13th, 2025. Grandpa Dan, streaming, RadioAlbion.com, kicking off work week. We're already almost halfway through the first month of the new year. That's hard to believe. And of course, it is Daily Mail Monday. And one of the things, of course, just been hemorrhaging all over the news are these fires burning up some affluent neighborhoods in Los Angeles. So of course our Daily Mail has several stories on this, but we're going to have some other stuff we'll get into as well. But one of the things I've found before we get off into some of the stories here, one of the things I found interesting is contrasting the overall reaction of people across the country to this versus the media reaction and how the flip side of that when disasters happen in other parts of the country. For instance, it's a regular happening, especially in springtime in the heartland in the Midwest. You know, there's going to be tornadoes, and tornadoes will rip through whole areas, sometimes destroying entire towns. And while the media will report on it, I'm talking about the national media, the nationwide media, while they will report on it, usually the coverage will last a day or so. Where with these fires in Los Angeles, and again, to be fair, this is on a very large scale, the media is obsessing over it because this is closer to home for them. Now, I think this highlights how disunited the United States, how people talk about, we'll use terms, we'll talk about the American empire, you know, and you know, its global reach. But when you bring things closer to home to just the United States itself, it's an empire. And what I mean by that is there's nothing really uniting the states. People in the Pacific Northwest don't have that much in common with people in, say, the Deep South or the Northeast with people in the Southwest. They're really, when you get down to it, these are, there's really a lot of very much cultural differences between all of these different areas of the country. And yet we're supposed to be, you know, one country with some kind of shared common culture, which is by and large just made up. That's why you see them running around talking about, you know, this idea nation and our values of who we are, which change all of the time. And you wind up with the media at the head of this preaching to everybody what these values supposedly are, even though they never seem to be able to actually put much of a definition on them. The point here is that you see the difference in this media coverage. They really care about someplace like Los Angeles being burned up. Well, I'm going to tell you, for people in the rest of the country, the reaction is by and large, they don't give a shit. And because it's not them, but the media cares a lot. And if you flip that over again, people in the rest of the country, when they see tornadoes rip through the Midwest, they're a lot more sympathetic. Then the media will cover it for maybe a day and then move on to whatever the next big story, whatever celebrity is doing, whatever. How do you call this a singular country at all when you have that sort of split? Because again, the people in different parts of the country really don't have anything in common anymore. I've said for years, and I believe it's being borne out now, I've said for years that the only thing holding this thing together, this entity known as the United States, is the perception. It's perception, not necessarily reality, but the perception of relative economic prosperity. This is one of the reasons, besides the just war propaganda or whatever else, this is one of the reasons they constantly are denigrating, running down falsely portraying, you know, the level of prosperity in some place such as China. I still see these videos will pop up sometimes on YouTube, you know, and it's like the shocking truth about China and they're dilapidating. And it's like they've got to keep the people holding on. You know, obviously, people running this program, they recognize this too, that this one of the few things holding it together is this perception of relative economic prosperity. If the people are aware that a nation such as China, for instance, is much more prosperous than the United States, you see, that tears away at one of the few last things that are holding this thing together. The problem is the facade is quickly slipping away. You know, the media can tell you things are great only so many times, and people, you know, how many versions of don't believe your lying eyes can they tell people? Especially when it comes to things that affect people personally. You know, if it's an abstract thing that doesn't affect them personally, people shrug their shoulders and say, well, maybe that's the case. But the media can tell people so long, you know, actually, Americans, you're the most economically prosperous country in the world. But when people look around and they're getting more and more broke, they can't afford housing. They can't afford to get sick or have, heaven forbid, have to go in the hospital because of the ridiculous healthcare costs. And everything is financialized in this country. We bring this back to, I think, something that's kind of an underlying, I find an underlying thing in this California fire story. Things are so financialized. People... And this probably plays into why some people are not as sympathetic. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sympathetic to anybody who loses their home. But then you hear like, you know, oh, this $23 million home, this $10 million home was burned down. Don't link me to a GoFundMe, okay? You supposedly have a $10 million home. The real estate is so ridiculously financialized and overpriced. You know, somebody says, well, they have, you know, my home in California is worth, you know, $5 million. Anywhere else in the country, maybe 150, 200 grand at the most. People will sell their homes for these overinflated prices and move to another part of the country and buy a bigger home for a lot less money. And a lot of times they'll act like they're so much smarter than the locals because they must be. They have all of this money. They sold their house in California. I'm not trying to run down the Californians. I'm just pointing out that this prosperity is largely an illusion, and this highlights it. Oh, well, I'm worth $50 million. Well, your allegedly $23 million house just burned to the ground. Now what are you worth? Now when people, you know, if you're going to sell the land, when people realize the permitting process it's going to be involved in even clearing the rubble out because of all the ridiculous red tape that's involved in doing anything in California, how much are you worth now? You know, people inflate their, I'm worth all of this because of their home value, their overinflated home value. And this fire highlights that that can be lost overnight. There's a potential here for a certain amount of cascading effect when people are going to realize these home values are nowhere. They're like the stock market. Like Tesla stock value. They're not based on anything remotely connected to reality. And these fires burning up these overpriced homes, you know, this could very much turn into highlighting how these things are not based on reality. This could potentially snowball into bigger things. We'll just have to see. Now, heading back to our Daily Mail lineup for today, and we'll stay on this subject for starters. We got some other different subjects we'll get into before the show is over. But there's already been no lack of criticism. So, of course, they have to go forward and defend the ridiculousness. We've seen who is in charge of these things, and the response has been less than stellar. And again, we'll get into some of this as we go along. So, we'll go ahead and start with our first story. The headline is Los Angeles Fire Department's diversity chief blames fire victims in shocking viral video defending DEI. A shocking video shows the leader of diversity, equity, and inclusion at the Los Angeles Fire Department appear to blame helpless fire victims as massive blazes continue to tear through the City of Angels. In the public relations video that reemerged from 2019, Deputy Chief Christine Larson, who heads the Equity and Human Rights Bureau, which most of us would say is a made-up job, but we'll continue, defended the fire department's use of DEI hiring practices. She then addressed concerns that female firefighters may not be strong enough to carry a man out of a burning building, to which she simply responded, "He got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire." The comment infuriated many online, considering at least 16 people have died in the California fires, which have also wiped out an estimated 40,300 acres of land, 12,300 homes, and other structures. Well, something right off the bat. This statement, "He got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire." There's something to be learned from this, beyond this furor over this diversity business, then yeah, sure. I mean, that's the easy take. Something people need to take from all of this, and this statement helps highlight this. You see, I come across stories like this, and it's not, I don't necessarily have the normal reaction of people who go, "Oh my gosh, look at this, this ridiculous DEI hire promoting their DEI, and they're doing their DEI, and they're not promoting the most qualified." And you know, those are the easy takes. You know, what effect are you going to have on that? If you're against the, if you live there and you're against their DEI policies, you think they're going to listen to you? Do you think they care? Do you think they're going to, you can organize a protest and the government's going to change policy? Tell me when the hell that's happened last. What I take from this, and I think this is helpful, I'm thankful for the statement. If you got yourself in a position where I got to carry you out, you shouldn't have been there in the first place. This is very educational, because this is what you should take from it, because this is something that actually can affect you. In a case of an emergency, and I've been telling people this for a minute, I'm not tooting my own horn when I say, I'm just stating the reality. I've been saying this for a minute, not because I'm super smart, but because it's just simple observable reality and it should be pointed out. And I think it's important that all of us have this in our minds. And I will say this again. And this statement this person has made about you shouldn't have been there in the first place really highlights this reality. And their statement, in a way, can serve to save lives. In the event of an emergency, hear me now, in the event of an emergency, you know, a disaster, you are on your own. Remember the hurricane damage? Do you remember that just earlier last year? And what did the people find out? They're on their own. When the government eventually, I mean, the local people were helping each other out and doing fairly okay. And when the FEMA people showed up, what did they do? They started getting in the way. People are organizing, churches are gathering food, and the FEMA people finally show up. The cavalry has come to the rescue, and they immediately started making things worse. Now, of course, once again, the media tried to run cover on that and say, oh, that's disinformation. We'll get some of that here in a minute. On this same note, the reality is you need to have a mindset that in the event of a disaster, your well-being, your safety, your health, and that of your family, you're the king. You're the one in charge. The government is not going to come rescue you. They hate you. They're not only disinterested, they don't like you. Don't count on them. Use your common sense. One of the stories that really, really highlighted this for me, I mean, this was just one of those moments I thought there's no clearer, you know, there's no clearer illustration of this. When the fires happened in Maui, in Hawaii, you remember that? Another story that got memory hold. You saw the cars, the people sitting in line, the cars burned up, dead. These people got unalived because the police set up barricades and said, well, you can't go past here. If the people continued down the road, they would have been in safety in like 20 minutes. It wasn't far. They just had to get out of the line. And you had these cops out there with some wooden barricades up. And they're telling people, no, you can't go. The road's closed because it could be dangerous. There could be power lines down on the road, so you can't go through here. Now, at that time, there were some people that essentially gave the cops the finger, drove around the barricades, and went on. What are they going to do?
They stand there, hold her, they're affected by authority.
They just stood there like, I'm trying not to be insulting to our heroes in blue, but they just stood there like, well,
you don't need doing that.
All the rest of the, and you know what happened to those people that disregarded the cops, went around the barricades and kept going? Because when the fire got closer, the cops ran off, I'm sure. And the people are just obediently sitting there behind the barricades. It's amazing how obedient people are. I do. Like if you ever drive in the middle of the night and you'll be going through a town, there's no traffic anywhere, and you'll come up, and it's like, what's going on here? And there's somebody obediently sitting there staring at a red light that's hung up. And they're just sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there. And it's like, there's nobody around. Just go. These people sat there obediently in line behind, because we can't go around the wooden barricades. They were set up by the authorities. And they burned up and died. The people that said, screw this, this is stupid, they went around the barricades, they got to the next town over, and they lived. You're on your own. Don't count on them. In fact, they might do things that will kill you, whether it's out of incompetence, stupidity, or blatant maliciousness. That's irrelevant. People get bogged down in that. Is it a conspiracy to kill everybody? I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's not, but it doesn't matter to you, does it? If you're in that situation, you don't care if the cops involved, the authorities involved are being malicious, stupid, incompetent, whatever the case may be, that's irrelevant. You need to take care of yourself, because they're not going to. This statement here, you shouldn't have been there in the first place. This tells you the same thing, doesn't it? You'll sit there. If you got a way to figure out how to get out of a mess, don't sit there and wonder, is this going to be okay with the authorities? Will I get in trouble for this? Screw that, man. I'm telling you. You're on your own. They aren't going to help you. If anything, they're probably going to get in the way. Just deal with that as it comes. Make the best decision for your family. Do what you got to do. Let the chips fall where they may. Well, let's go to our next story. LAFD forced to explain why they are fighting fires with quote-unquote women's handbags as conspiracies rage online. Once again, you see, the problem is the misinformation. As Los Angeles firefighters continue to battle deadly wildfires, authorities were forced to confront wild conspiracies, including a claim that firefighters are using women's handbags to douse the flames. Disgraced Sandy Hook truther Alex Jones made the assertion on Thursday, sharing video of fire crews carrying bags filled with water. He claimed the department needed to use the quote-unquote women's handbags because it sent supplies over to war-torn Ukraine. But L.A. Fire Department Chief Eric Scott, a public information officer, has since explained to the Wall Street Journal that the so-called handbags were actually canvas bags fire departments regularly use to put out small fires, as they are easier and faster than having to connect hoses. Scott also suggested he did not want to spend all of his time addressing baseless theories. We're trying to battle the most devastating natural disaster in Los Angeles history, he told the Journal. It takes people and time to track down and debunk social media rumors, and it takes us away from doing more important things, he bemoaned, as the three wildfires wiped out an estimated 40,300 acres of land, 12,300 homes, and other structures. Well, I don't know, you could just ignore them. I mean, what does it matter if they're being criticized by someone like Alex Jones claiming they're carrying women's purses around to put out fires? In other words, they kind of condemn themselves with this. And what I mean by that is they say, oh, they're bemoaning. It's like they're pulling firefighters off the front scene. This guy's a public information officer. So when he walks up there and stands in front of the podium wearing, you know, a fire jacket, you know, carrying his helmet or whatever, he didn't just come from the front lines to talk to the press. That's his job. In other words, that's all he does. They insinuate that they're taking firefighters that are actually fighting the fires off the front lines to answer these rumors. It's just bullshit. That's all these people do. He's a desk jockey. He's not out there fighting blazes, and now he's got to stop to debunk the rumors. And why do they need to anyway? Because they are the ones that are worried about their image, aren't they? They're the ones that are worried about public relations and how this looks. If you're so worried about fighting the fires, I'm not saying they're not. I'm not claiming that they're disinterested in doing their job. And I'm sure the guys that are out there doing the firefighting are doing the best they can. We'll get to that here in a minute. But to make this disingenuous thing like they're having to divert people away from fighting fires to debunk these things on the internet, it's just stupid. Alex Jones showing a video of him walking around carrying bags of water to put out fires is not going to affect their ability to go around and put out fires. Put out the fire, and then if you want to come back later and say, yeah, that was BS, this is what we were actually doing, and explain how the process works, that's fine and dandy. You're the ones jumping up and making it a priority to look good on the internet. Who gives a crap what Alex Jones or anybody else is saying? You're the one. And again, the people that are up here whining about this, they're not, you know, that guy is that guy's as likely to leave the podium and go out there and get on the front lines fighting fires as Vladimir Zelensky in the Ukraine wearing his green shirt just came back from the trenches to go beg for some more money. These are public relations. He's a desk jockey. He's not going to be, they're not diverting anybody from fighting fires to battle disinformation. They are the ones that are obsessed and worried about what this looks like. And quite frankly, there is a lot to criticize. Again, I get it. You know, I'm not unsympathetic to the firefighters. I don't do this stupid hero worship nonsense that a lot of people in this country tend to do. But I understand people got a job and you know, they got so many firefighters and this massive overwhelming blaze. And these winds that are just whipping it. You know, I get it. You know, you can only go to so many places and do so many things. But at the same time, there's room for criticism. I saw a story just the other day. And like, I think it was some town or city from Oregon, I think it was. And they sent like 6 fire trucks to go help. They're looking. They're like, yeah, these guys are overwhelmed. They need all the help they can get. But the California bureaucracy stopped them at the border and said, well, we have to DOT inspect every single truck, fire truck, before it can go through. And if we red tag it, by golly, you're not going anywhere. It's in violation of the rules. You see, they whine about stuff like this because they're trying to deflect. They're trying to deflect away from things that actually they need to be criticized for. You would think in a situation like that, somebody have enough common sense to say, yeah, we got a whole lot going on. We're not going to sit here and inspect these trucks. Keep on trucking. Get down there. Godspeed, brother. Get down there and help these guys put out this fire. But no, we're going to stop the trucks and inspect each one and give it a fine tooth comb. Because by gosh, we wouldn't want to be unsafe. And people wonder why the rest of the country can be unsympathetic towards California. There's another story. I'm not going to get into it here today, but there's another story, and they're putting up signs that say, you know, looters will be shot. Individual homeowners, not the government, of course. They don't give a shit. But homeowners are having to put up signs because there's looting going on now. And they're putting up these signs going, looters will be shot. Well, you better have already owned the gun because y'all are so proud of your very strict anti-gun laws, huh? You know, the looters may not be deterred by that because they're like, yeah, with what gun? Do you know, if you didn't already own one and you ran down to buy one, you got to wait the 7 days or whatever the hell waiting period. Remember, y'all voted for that. Or it was imposed on. Yeah, I'm, you know, this idea that people voted for that. Sometimes there's some truth to that. And a lot of times this stuff's just imposed. But nevertheless, my point here is, what's going to carry more weight? If you had this happen in Texas and would-be looters go into a neighborhood and there's all these signs up saying looters will be shot, I'm going to tell you, in Texas, they're going to have to think about that because that's a very reality. Because everybody knows Texans are like hyper-obsessed a lot of times with these guns. There's a pretty good odds that it ain't a bluff. But in California, it could be. It could be a bluff. And once again, this highlights what I pointed out earlier. You were on your own. You were absolutely on your own. Where's my heroes in blue? Where are the heroic cops to protect your home and property from the looter? Well, they're too busy. They got other things going on. And again, I'm not even saying they're off, you know, dicking off at the donut shop, which they may or may not be doing. I don't know. That's not even important. What is important is, again, this highlights you are on your own. You don't want your home to be looted. You better have a way to defend it. Now, in the story I read about the looting signs, you know, a lot of these are rich people homes. And some of these rich people have hired private security guys to stay there at their house. Well, why don't you just go home yourself? I mean, if it's safe for the security guys to stand around there and guard your home, well, won't you go? Because they don't own a gun, but they're a rich person, so they can hire private security guys to stand around armed and guard their overpriced California home. You're on your own. You ain't going to be able to afford no private security people. Ain't nobody going to come and guard you. The boys in blue, your heroes in blue, are not going to come guard you. And the fire department may or may not. I saw a video on YouTube. You know, and again, they can sit there and claim disinformation all they want. But when you see it with your eyes, look, don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. I was watching a video on YouTube of these fires in one of these areas. And this couple is running around with their garden hose, putting fires out because these winds are whipping. These winds are whipping. And they're running around putting these small fires out before they can catch houses on fire. They're stamping them out. I'm assuming it was a husband and wife. They're running around, stamping these fires out, putting them out with the garden hose. She's yelling at her husband, "They over here, they over here." And he gets his hose and runs over there, and they're putting these fires out. Well, the problem is there's one big palm tree, and it's on fire. This palm tree is on fire, and what's happening with the winds are blowing off. It's blowing these huge balls of this palm tree, these embers over here. And, of course, everything else is dry, and it's starting all these fires. This thing is just like spreading fires. You can see it. They're flying off, and the woman's running over here chasing the embers, and because it lands and a fire starts up. You know, it immediately starts growing. Well, a fire truck comes by, and she stops and she says, put this tree out. This is what's causing, you know, it's causing all these fires. It's lighting these other homes on fire. And the firefighters tell her, "We don't have time to put no tree out." Wait, you're a trained professional. You know this person is telling you. You can observe, stand there for just 1 minute, and you can see, yeah, if we don't put this tree out, it's going to keep spreading fires and setting more homes on fire, which are a bigger fire. And we ain't got time for that. Yeah, we ain't got time for that. We're off doing hero stuff. So these people are what? On their own. They're on their own. I said I was going to get in some other stories. We're not going to make it today. We're going to stay on this. I'm sorry. You're on your own. There's a lady and her husband. She found out. They're on their own. They finally, the heroes are here. My firefighting heroes, the press conference guy, the public relations officer guy, he wasn't out there in his glowing neon, you know, fire jacket, fireproof fire jacket. He back making a press conference talking about how we're having to stop and battle disinformation. He wouldn't do anything else anyway. Her and her husband found out, "You're on your own. We ain't got time to put that tree out." She pointed down, they're pointing, "Look, it's blowing out of that tree. And this is what's setting these houses on fire. We're running around out here with a shovel and a garden hose trying to keep that from happening. We ain't got time for that. We got to roll, do hero things." You're on your own. You're on your own. They're not going to, if they do happen to come and not get in the way and help, great. But I'm telling you, you got to understand, you're on your own. Never mind. These people were probably like regular people that happened, you know, maybe they inherited the house, whatever, that lived there. They were probably in a hurry to get to some important Hollywood person's $20 million house and guard it. The plebs, you were on your own. The rich people, they can hire the private security. The firefighters are going to make their rich palatial mansion a priority. You plebs, you know. You regular people, you are on your own. We ain't got time to put no tree out. We so-and-so's house, who's a big name in Hollywood, we got to go make sure that doesn't burn down. return back to our story. So you have someone like Alex Jones, you know, make this claim. Now, you notice a little bit of hand waving and misdirection here. You know, it's there's a little bit of word gaming going. What I mean by that is the guy comes out, dismisses this and says, this is ridiculous. These are not women's handbags. These are canvas bags that hold water because they can run around and put these small fires. Okay, stop right there for a minute. What the hell kind of bags they are is kind of irrelevant, isn't it? Why the hell are they having to run around and using bags of water? It seems like that might point to some issues here. Now, we've already seen the stories and read the stories to where they found out some of these fire hydrants weren't even working for whatever reason. They've been running into water shortages. That's a real issue. How about explaining something? They don't want to explain that, because it's their own policies are going to be responsible for that. It highlights the continuing crumbling of the infrastructure and our ever-increasing slide into third world tier status here. That eats into that perception of relative economic prosperity when you have a fire and, oh yeah, well, nothing works. The infrastructure doesn't work. The fire hydrants don't work. The fire trucks are going to be all directed to the wealthiest, most posh areas, and the rest of you people are on your own. And maybe you can sell your house later for pennies on the dollar. You know, how about explaining why they're having to use bags? Well, I mean, they try to do that. They try to get a little window dressing and say it's a lot faster than hooking up hoses. You know, hooking up, you know, the big fire hose to go put out a little fire. Well, okay, that's fair enough. But if you could put it out with a little boat bag of water, then you probably just stamp it out with your foot. Seems to me like, look, I know this is a big news story, but these fires and these winds coming up like this are not something new. They mismanage the forest. You know, they call it forest. They mismanage the brush in these areas. It's dry. These winds do get up like this. This is not a rare once in a lifetime happening. It was a disaster waiting to happen, and now it's happened. The Indians, feather not dot, the Indians had enough sense hundreds of years ago to know this, and they would light it on fire once a year so it'd all burn off so there wouldn't be a big fire. But you see, we're smarter than that now in California. That violates the rules of nature. So we just let the brush and the thicket grow up until once it lights off and these winds whip up. Whether it's this LA fire story, the hurricane story from earlier this year, the fire in Hawaii, which has a lot of similarities, the lesson remains the same. What limited resources they have, okay, are going to be prioritized to protect the rich. I'm not class baiting. That's just reality. When the people in Hawaii got all their homes wiped out and a lot of them killed, Oprah's house didn't burn up. The wealthy, the people who hold some power and status and wealth, they're going to get priority. There's limited resources. Who do you think is going to get it? Okay? If you, regular Joe, have a house and there's one fire truck and there's a big fire coming and the fire truck can only be in one place at a time, is he going to go keep your house from burning to the ground, or is he going to go keep Bill Gates' house from burning to the ground? Honest question. Who do you think? You're on your own. If nothing else, just because of the limited resources, they're going to prioritize Bill Gates over you. They don't care about you. They hate you. They don't care. You're on your own. Your stuff's going to get burned down. because they're going to be over there fighting the fire around Bill Gates. I'm not saying Bill Gates even had eyes, but you get what I'm saying. Regular people, they don't care. And I'm going to tell you, the people that are most ill-prepared for this sort of situation are those people you see going around, you know, and they fly the hero flag, you know, the American flag with the blue and the my first responders and my hero police and my hero firefighters. They are the ones that are going to be the most ill-prepared if something happens, a disaster like this. They're going to be the ones that are going to obediently sit behind the barricades. The people who will, shall we say, have a little less respect for authority, who are going to go, well, that's stupid. I'm going around the barricade because I know I can go 20 minutes down the road. There may be power lines on the road. That's fine. I'll drive around them. I'll figure something out. I'm not going to stay here and get burned up. Those people have a better chance of survival. The ones that badge worship, the bootlickers, the badge worshipers, the badge lickers, whatever you want to call them, they're the ones that are going to sit there and obediently wait. Maybe the DEI person has a point. Maybe you better be mindful of not getting yourself in that position in the first place. Because if you're waiting for the government to come help you, it just very well may cost you your life. We'll wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining me today. I'll be back tomorrow for the Parish of the Patriots show. It's already recorded. It's already sitting there waiting to go up all on its own, automatically. So I will be back tomorrow for that. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist show. And Dr. Johnson will be back Thursday. Of course, I'll do my best to be back here on Friday to wrap up your week with the Friday installment of the Daily Nationalist. So again, thank you for joining me. I hope you have a good week. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.